Frank, what is the cosmic internet?
Cosmic internet is something that we've been hooked into all our lives, and people don't recognize it. And that's why I'm trying to, that's why I came up with that analogy. Although I think my guys upstairs would say they came up with the analogy. They like to take the credit for these things, and I like to give it to them because I'm keeping the royalties. You know how it is?
Well, you know, it's funny because your guys may be also my guys.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure because they were telling me it's, years ago it was the wireless internet of life.
Well,
so we're pretty close.
You know, here's the thing. Talking to the other side, communicating with what people call dead people or disembodied spirits is natural, it's easy, and we do it all the time, and it's much like talking on the telephone. When you know, when you go to pick up a telephone, make a call, you don't have to have a special attitude, you don't burn incense to the telephone, you don't have to have a certain set of beliefs. You just pick up the phone and you call. Well, the person on the other end, the difference with the telephone is you know who you're talking to. So let's transfer that to the internet. Now you can have friends, as I do, and I'm sure you do, halfway across the world that you've never met. You only know them by what you connect to them with. In other words, supposing you're interested in auto mechanics, and that's what you talk about, you know, back and forth. Or supposing you're talking about UFOs, or you have a thing on conspiracy theories, or anything at all. The internet is a way, I mean, I'm talking about the usual internet now, the electronic internet.
Right.
It's a way where you sign on and you talk to people who are interested in the same things you are. You meet them, but you only meet them virtually. You don't probably ever meet them physically. You may not know anything about them. They may not have the right name. But and with the information that they give you, you have to judge using your own discretion because you can't know. Of course, that's true of everything, but it's even more so in that case. And it seems to me that talking to the guys upstairs, and this is a thing that has evolved in my practice over 20 years. I didn't start with this conclusion that I have come to. It seems to me it's much like dealing with the internet. In fact, before we had a physical internet, we didn't really have a good analogy to what it is like to talk to the other side because we had never, there was nothing physical that was like it. But this pretty much is. If I get in a space, in a receptive space, and I have a serious question, or if I want to just chat, let's put it that way, I will be able to ask a question, wait, and the answer will come. And usually I do this in my journal just because I'm used to it.
Sure.
I've kept the journal for since 1966, however long that is. But I've been doing this in the journal form, and it's quite comfortable. I can do it just talking, too, but I like it in the journal because it's a little more, it's a less of a temporary product. I have it there at the end, you know. Because when you do a thing like this, you're in a slightly altered state. And when you come back to a less altered state, you may not remember it without reminders, all right?
Well, it's almost like Neil when he was doing his conversations with God. He would just take down those notes, right?
Sure. And that's what struck me about it. He was doing the same thing, only he was getting up at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. Or he was in his car when he was doing it.
You can do it anywhere, and you do it anywhere. That's my point. We already do it. But a lot of times, you're getting prompting from the other side. You know, people say, I don't know why, but I was just moved to do that. Or, I just had a hunch, or anything like that. To my mind, what that is, and I'm pausing because I'm hearing all these definitions. And each definition is a little bit wrong, but you have to proceed as best you can. Keeping it still for the moment that we're talking about different people, you and I as different people talking to other different people on the other side, you connect with them, you can get the information, and at the end you have to use your own discernment as to how much of it you believe or don't believe. They can be wrong. They don't know everything. When I started this, I used to think, well, if they're disembodied, they know everything. Well, it may be theoretically, but not in any practical sense.
That's true. We think they do.
I don't know about you, but I started with the assumption that they did. But as it turns out, I would ask them things like to predict the future, and for other reasons, I now realize that's not really very possible. But I would ask them to predict the future, and the prediction would be wrong. I really got quite bent out of shape about that. And later, they explained to me, much later, that due to my expectations, they had a choice of either making a prediction, which might or might not come true, or saying they didn't know, which would make me then say, well, you don't exist. It sounds ridiculous only because it is ridiculous, but that's where I was. Did I go through it too fast?
No, not at all. Not at all. When you were talking about hunches, how many people get that, but they don't react to it?
Well, some don't react to it, but I think more people react than ever admit it. It's not considered quite respectable. And I think, oddly enough, I think superstitions are well, let's leave superstitions out of it. Let's just stick with hunches. You get a hunch, and the hunch is not always right. But what in your life is always right?
So many people will say, I knew this. I knew this, but I didn't act on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they do act on it.
And sometimes they do. Is it, here's the big question, though, Frank. Is it this force, you call it the guys upstairs, or is it truly something within us that
Bingo.
We have?
It's both. As far as I can tell, it's both. So
we are getting some help, right?
We're getting help, but it's also part of ourselves. Because one of the things that I have learned over the years, and that's one of the reasons to write this book was to explain these things, one of the things is we, you and I, as physical beings, also extend into the non-physical.
At the same time.
You couldn't be here otherwise. You see, they've gone into this long description of the physical world as a special created case of the non-physical world.
Then we are they.
Exactly. Now, having said that, though, that's like saying everything is all one. And that's true in a certain sense. But then if you've said that and you leave it at that, there's nowhere to go. Everything's all one. Okay, let's talk about sports, you know, except we're on both teams.
Yeah.
The thing is, in the physical world, we have delayed consequences. We have the perception of separation. And we have this one moment. And now here's something they told me. And as soon as they said it, I realized, yeah, it's absolutely true. There's two kinds of time. There's the one moment, like where you and I are right now talking.
Right.
Okay. And then there's everything else. So we were at that right moment when you and I first said hello, but we're not there anymore, obviously. And we're not where we were when I started this sentence. Right.
Right.
The one moving moment, it's like a wave going across the ocean. We always have to live on that one moment. It's designed that way, which means we never see our lives in the right perspective because the present moment always has an exaggerated importance because that's where we are and the only place we can be.
Have you been able to answer the question, what the heck are we even doing here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You have?
Oh, yeah.
Share it.
In the shortest way I can say it is that unlike people who think that the Earth is a school, the guys have been saying what the Earth is a special place where you can create your own mind or soul, whichever way you choose to look at it, and we can talk about that if you want. You are here to choose and choose and choose and choose, and in so doing, you create the mind that will then go over to the other side. It's actually on the other side, but it'll be there when we die. So our whole life is a sort of a preparation in one sense. It's a preparation for the life that we're going to lead afterwards.